Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
If you build it, they will come, Joel. Seen that movie? He's in the movie, Joe.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
In our 670 The Score studios, Jordan Malley.
Shout out to Jordan Malley.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't. No.
No.
I'll talk to D. Rose.
Yeah, you're going to make it happen.
And Matt, you will be getting your book soon.
Kick back and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
And so all I was saying on this podcast, the Locked On Bulls podcast.
Locked On Bulls, 5 days a week.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Matt Peck, also host of Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago, following all 82 Bulls games this season. You can follow me on Twitter, Bulls_Peck. You can follow my co-host Jordan Malley at Jordan C. Malley. And you can follow us at Locked On Bulls. Or you can hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Send us an email, LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. Or, as always, hit us up on that text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. That number again, 331-979-1369 for all of your Bulls questions, comments, thoughts, as we make our way into the depths of this difficult January schedule. The Bulls on the road again tonight, taking on the New Orleans Pelicans. Before I get to some mailbag content on the back end of today's episode, wanted to give a quick little look at tonight's matchup with the Pelicans. A couple of injury updates for both teams. Notably, the Bulls are catching another break. Seems like they have been getting these breaks all season long. You know, they recently played the Boston Celtics without one Kemba Walker. They have played plenty of teams missing key pieces. In fact, their one win against the 500 team this season came a couple weeks ago when they beat the Kawhi Leonard-less LA Clippers, who were also missing a handful of other key pieces of that rotation. But it seems like this crazy coincidence that the Bulls continue to get the benefit of opponents missing key players, and more often than not, they don't take advantage of it. So we did get an official Pelicans PR update about a couple of injured players yesterday, late in the afternoon. Notably, Drew Holiday, who has been playing very well this season and has always been a name that Bulls fans have always been interested in as far as potential trades. In fact, I think we took a mailbag question just last week about a potential Drew Holiday trade that would bring him to the Bulls. He will remain sidelined tonight, still not fully recovered from his injury. And then the other big one, of course, the number one overall pick in the 2019 NBA draft, Zion Williamson, who the Bulls saw in preseason. Their second preseason game, I believe it was, when Zion Williamson was like, I think it was like 12 of 13 from the field, something crazy like that, and dropped 28 points. Just an amazing performance. And yes, it was preseason, but certainly still fun to see Zion do that on an NBA court, even though it was just a preseason game. And then, of course, he had the knee issue and has been on the shelf for the entirety of the regular season so far for the Pelicans. And he has just recently started participating in 5-on-5 in Pelicans practices just over the weekend. And it sounds like they're going to be very cautious. When he does return, he will be certainly on a minutes restriction. They don't want to, you know, take any unnecessary risks with their number one pick and the future of their franchise. Maybe we thought there was an outside shot that we would see Zion's regular season debut tonight for this Bulls-Pelicans matchup, but he, along with Drew Holiday in yesterday's update from Pelicans PR, was declared out for tonight's game. So, sad news, we don't get to see Zion Williamson in his regular season debut play against our Bulls, which would have, of course, been fun and a big moment for the NBA this season. But I guess between that and no Jrue Holiday, the Bulls catching another break. So, will they capitalize? This Pelicans team has been struggling. They actually are coming into tonight's game with one fewer win than the Bulls. Pelicans currently 12-25, Bulls 13-24. Brandon Ingram has been playing pretty well this season. You know, I can't remember who. somebody recently had an interesting piece on what the return of Zion Williamson and or Lonzo Ball might mean for Brandon Ingram, and if his usage will take a hit, and if he can continue to do what he's been doing this season once they get some of those other young pieces back. But credit to Ingram, who has certainly taken a big leap this season and is showing the league what he can do. So the Bulls will certainly have their hands full trying to slow him down tonight. And the Bulls themselves will be shorthanded. The good news is that Daniel Gafford, who took a spill in their loss to Dallas Monday night and tweaked an ankle. And of course, you know, I talked about it on yesterday's show, the insanity that ensued where Jim Boylan refused to call a timeout. Mavs head coach Rick Carlisle essentially had to call a timeout for him so that they could address getting Gafford off the floor. It was just, you know, so frustrating in so many ways. But he was able to walk off that tweaked ankle and get back in the game and finish the game. And as of this morning shoot-around, Gafford said that his ankle is fine. Quote, and this is from Casey Johnson just a few moments ago, "As you can see, I was still jumping out of the gym." Referencing the post ankle tweak parts of that game against Dallas Monday night, which was accurate. I don't know what Gafford has going for him with that amazing athleticism, and maybe it was just a minor ankle tweak and nothing too serious, and that looks to be thankfully the case right now. But that's the good news, is that Gafford will be available for the Bulls tonight. However, Wendell Carter Jr., who also had a nasty ankle tweak in that game Monday night, has been ruled out for tonight's game. The initial x-rays that he got that night were negative, and they were originally planning for Wendell to get an MRI on Tuesday while the Bulls were still on this road trip, but they have since then decided, this update came also this morning, that they are postponing that MRI to follow up on Wendell's ankle injury until Thursday, which will take place once the Bulls are back here in Chicago. So hopefully the MRI for Wendell will bring good news as opposed to bad news, but based on how much pain he appeared to be in and the fact that he needed help off the court and was also seen with crutches in the locker room after that game Monday night, I am personally preparing for bad news and Wendell to be out at least a week, if not more, with that ankle injury. So then, of course, that shifts the narrative to what the Bulls will do in Wendell's absence, whether it's a short absence or a longer absence. What we heard from NBC Sports Chicago's Bulls insider Casey Johnson this morning, Wednesday morning, is that Thad Young was getting most of the work with the starting unit, not Daniel Gafford. So unless that changes, and Jim Boylan said that, you know, starting lineup won't be revealed until it has to be leading up to tonight's game, it sounds like they will play a front court of Thad Young and Lauri Markkanen and stick with the trio of LaVine, Dunn, and Satoransky rounding out that starting lineup, as opposed to putting Gafford at center. So are they going to play small ball Thad at the five, or are they going to see what they can do with Markkanen at the five? Because that's something that we hear the Bulls always have been interested in exploring and developing, that aspect and that versatility of Lowry's game. And if they're going to roll out Thad Young in the starting lineup, that certainly looks like it would point to Markkanen, at least for the starter unit, playing minutes at the five. Now, you know, there are a couple schools of thought as to where they should go in Wendell's absence. Essentially, whether you start Thad Young or you start Daniel Gafford. Gafford has shown some pretty solid stuff in his minutes once he got into this rotation, a month or month and a half into the season after being inactive out of the gate because of Boylan preferring Luke Kornet for a while there. But you certainly like what you've seen from Gafford. His athletic ability on both ends of the floor as a shot blocker and as a guy who can set screens and roll to the rim, catch lobs, get dunks, offensive rebounds. His offensive game is fairly limited, but what he does very well. And in some ways, because of his size and because of his leaping ability, that both outclass Wendell Carter Jr., can offer paint scoring that Wendell Carter Jr. cannot. And because of that, and the, you know, the just the sheer high motor kind of play that he brings, you know, I've heard some Bulls fans say to me he reminds them of a young Taj Gibson, and I can certainly see the comparisons there. I would have been okay to say, you know what, keep Thad Young primarily operating in that second unit, which this Bulls bench we have seen struggle offensively more often than not this season. And Gafford, for the credit he deserves, as I said, is still limited offensively. And Thad Young hasn't been, you know, outstanding, but he still does bring you some possessions where he can get buckets, you know, old school, you know, old man ball way. We've seen some of that more recently. I still think Thad's taken too many threes than he should, because that's never been a strength to his game. But you know what you get with Thad, and I think that it might be more beneficial to keep that in a second unit. However, this could open up also an opportunity for Gafford, even off the bench in a reserve role, to get more minutes with Wendell on the shelf and hopefully build some chemistry with his fellow rookie Kobe White. Because, you know, we've talked about it on this show. We talk about it on Outsiders. I know Bulls fans have a lot of varying opinions on Kobe White and what he should be for this team right now and what he could be for this team in the future. I still am very much in the camp of those who believe he is not ready for a starting role, that he is still very young and very raw and has a lot of developing to do, especially as a playmaker. Because as a microwave scorer off the bench, you see what Kobe can bring as a guy who can break down his man off the dribble, get to the rim, knock down some shots on some nights, but he's still, as a whole this season, not shooting particularly well. He takes some ill-advised shots. His court vision is still very much so a work in progress. But if, even in a reserve role instead of starting, he and Gafford can spend more time on the floor together, and they have Kobe doing more traditional point guard things, especially in half-court sets, where the Bulls' first and second units have really struggled this season, just run some pick-and-roll stuff with Kobe and Daniel and see if that's something that they can develop. Because we've seen a couple of nights where Kobe is dishing out 5, 6, 7 assists, and he said, and you see the potential as a playmaker. Well, if the LaVine, Markkanen, Dunn rebuild ends up not being chemistry-wise something that the Bulls can believe in, and you have yet even younger generation backing them up with Gafford and Kobe right now from the same draft class, you should see if those two have some legitimate chemistry, and you should build on that. Especially now, where we are this season. I know that the Bulls are not, you know, so far away out of, you know, playoff contention right now in the Eastern Conference, but they're not super close to it. And if the Bulls, as they already have with comments from Boylan and John Paxson that have moved the goalposts a little bit about the goal they set at Media Day of making the playoffs, if they want to say that it's also not just about that but about developing their young guys, then actually try in various ways to develop your young guys and see what you have. So, all that to say, I would have been okay if the decision was, as long as Wendell is out, let's throw Gafford in that starting unit because he showed us that he deserves some more minutes and an opportunity, and it keeps Thad Young and his productivity in that second unit that desperately needs it. But I can see the merits of keeping Gafford in a reserve role if they use that opportunity to really see what Kobe and Gafford can do together on the floor. Because we've seen glimpses of it, but we haven't seen it steadily at any stretch this season. So we'll see what we see tonight for the Bulls' first game of the season without Wendell Carter Jr. It's unfortunate. It was, you know, some of us at NBC were kind of poking fun at Casey for jinxing things, because it was, you know, the night after earlier that day, Casey posted a piece where he was talking to Wendell about his goal to play all 82 games this season after a rookie season that saw him play, I believe, just 44 games. Zach LaVine, Markkanen, all those guys talking about making it a personal goal to play 82 this season, even in today's NBA where load management is becoming more and more of a thing. Well, unfortunately, that is still on the table for some of these young Bulls, but it is not on the table as Wendell is out tonight. But, as I said, Bulls get another break, another opponent missing a couple of key pieces, no Jrue Holiday, no Zion Williamson yet, awaiting his NBA debut as the Bulls face the Pelicans tonight. It's a winnable game, absolutely a winnable game for the Bulls, and they really need one coming into tonight's game with their first four-game losing streak of the 2019-20 season. With that, let us get to some mailbag content on Mailbag Wednesday. This one, I have to kick off with this one because it is just too hilarious, and our entire Locked On Bulls family and Bulls Nation needs to be aware of it if they aren't already. So this is one that was tweeted to us by Jesus Marlanda, who says, "This is how bad it's gotten, yikes." And he tweeted at us with a link to a website that makes t-shirts called teespring.com. And teespring.com has shirts, a variety of shirts, calling for the firing of Bulls head coach Jim Boylan. There are shirts that that say fire, and then next to the word fire is just a black and white picture of Jim Boylan's head, which you can get in a variety of styles, t-shirts, hoodies, different colors. There is also one that says just fire Boylan. Instead of a picture of Boylan, it's the word, the name Boylan written out, fire Boylan. And then perhaps my favorite is a shirt that says okay Boylan. Over and over and over, vertically, okay, Boylan, okay, Boylan, okay, Boylan, in a nod to the new trending phrase, okay, Boomer. And then at the very bottom of the shirt, in tinier font than okay, Boylan, it says, have a terrible day. So just in case you're looking to add to your wardrobe, or, you know, want to voice your opinion, if you are of the opinion that the Bulls should be ousting Jim Boylan right now in the near future or, you know, yesteryear, there is an option for you. There are a variety of options for you. I would assume that you could probably just go to teespring.com, TEESPRING.com, and just search in the search bar for fire Boylan, and these will pop up. But, perhaps we will also share it from our Locked On Bulls Twitter account. We'll put out the link so you guys can find it there, too. This is hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. and less expensive than a billboard. So we'll see. I wonder if any of these t-shirts will crop up at the Bulls home games through the back half of the season. But kudos to whoever came up with these, because that's pretty hilarious. And thanks, Jesus, for sharing. All right, this next one comes to us from our friend and a regular Facebook Locked On Bulls mailbag guy, Matthew, from Leeds, England. Matthew says, "Hey, I'm messaging for an opinion from you and other Bulls fans. After watching highlights throughout the season of Luka Doncic and then finally seeing him play against us and kick our arse a few days ago, I've realized he is now my favorite player in the league. I have an urge to buy a Doncic jersey, but I could never get one with another team's name on it because I would feel like a traitor. My question is it okay to buy a Luka All-Star jersey when they are released next month? Would I still be a traitor for representing another team's player? Cheers." Thanks for checking in, Matthew. Also, great use of the word arse. This is a fair question. And personally, my response is no, it does not make you a traitor. And I think, you know, even as someone who, as a diehard lifelong Bulls fan from the, you know, the earliest years of my life where I understood what a basketball was and what the sport of basketball was, I have been a Bulls fan and nothing else. I have never wavered. I have never, like, adopted a second team. I like to give, you know, my buddy John on Bulls Outsiders a hard time for having, like, the Bulls as his Eastern Conference team and the Mavericks as his Western Conference team. but he is a Dallas native and a Mavs fan first and has lived in Chicago for the last, 12 years or so and has become a Bulls fan as well. The Bulls are his adopted team. I understand fans that have multiple allegiances and like two teams and cheer for two teams, especially if, they're in different conferences, different divisions, or if because of where you live or the history of the teams that you cheer for, or you've changed allegiances at some point. I think it is your right as a sports fan to cheer for whoever you want to cheer for. But I also think that especially over the course of the last 10, 15, 20 years, the NBA as a league has become more about individual stars and less about players. And less about teams. Just look at the biggest icon of the NBA for the last 15, almost 20 years, LeBron James. LeBron James, Cleveland Cavaliers, took them to a finals early in his career, couldn't get over the hump. Leaves Cleveland to go to Miami, wins a couple of titles there. That Miami team falls apart. LeBron goes back to Cleveland to try to deliver the title to his hometown. He does that. Now, after a couple tough years in Cleveland, he leaves. He goes to L.A. He's trying to win a title in L.A. And most of, NBA Twitter, whether you're pro-LeBron or anti-LeBron, it has nothing to do. Are you a Cavs fan? Are you a Heat fan? Are you a Lakers fan? There are LeBron fans and there are LeBron haters. Before that, there were Kobe fans and Kobe haters. It is a superstar-driven league. And especially if your team is struggling, as the Bulls are right now, I know that when the Bulls have an opponent on deck where I get to watch one of the best players in the league, just like our friend Matthew on Facebook was saying about watching Luka Doncic on Monday night, I get excited for that. Because honestly, it's not all that fun to watch the Bulls lose night in and night out. It's a struggle as a fan who wants nothing more than his beloved team to be successful and be winning and be relevant. When that's not the case, you got to find other ways to enjoy yourself as a basketball fan, in addition to being a Bulls fan. Like, when the Bulls dynasty ended in 1998, and I felt a little bit lost as I was watching these, Tim Floyd coach teams that were winning 13 games, 15 games, no stars anywhere to be found, I still was so in love with basketball that I attached myself to other superstar players that were not in Chicago. I was obsessed with Allen Iverson. I was obsessed with Kevin Garnett. And you know what? You bet your ass I had both an Allen Iverson jersey and a Kevin Garnett jersey. And not just their All-Star jerseys. I had an Allen Iverson Sixers jersey. I had a Kevin Garnett Minnesota Timberwolves jersey. And I did not feel bad about it at all. I knew where my true allegiance lied as a fan of a team. And even during those Bulls hard times of the early 2000s and these hard Bulls times of the late 2010s, the early 2020s and beyond, it's not against the rules to be fans of other players. So I would be curious to hear if our other listeners have an opinion on this. And weigh in. Send us your responses on Twitter or in our text line. Do you think it's okay as a Bulls fan to buy jerseys and buy merch of players that play for other teams? Because, I don't think there's a problem. But if you want a Luka Mavs jersey, go buy a Luka Mavs jersey. If you want to temper the traitorism that you're worrying about and get it in the All-Star jersey form instead of a Mavs jersey, hey, that's your prerogative too. But I'm not going to sit here and judge any NBA fan, any Bulls fan, for the ways that they spend their hard-earned money. And honestly, these days, if you want to spend money on a different team, instead of, putting money in the pockets of a organization that is currently failing its fan base the way that the Bulls are, I don't blame you for a second. I really don't. And no, I don't think you're a traitor. All right. From our text line, this one comes to us from the 210. Gafford beats up the rim like it was talking smack about his mama. I'm guessing that came after Gafford's insane dunk against the Mavs on Monday night. One of many impressive displays of his athleticism and his sheer dunking ability. Like, legit, I know Bulls fans are wondering, will he, won't he, on Zach LaVine in the dunk contest? And it's kind of sounding like he's leaning towards not and would actually rather compete in the three-point contest. I would love to see Daniel Gafford in the dunk contest. We're getting another, you know, we're getting an old familiar face as far as big men who compete in the dunk contest back this season. Lakers center Dwight Howard has accepted his invitation. And, you know, we remember some of his incredible dunks from his youth back, and I want to say it was like the 2009 or 2010 dunk contest. I would love to see Gafford in the dunk contest. There's some crazy stat. I can't remember it specifically, but the percentage of field goals made from Daniel Gafford this season that are dunks, and it's like well over 50%. He does that very, very well. And hey, the joke about, you know, he takes out on the rims like they're talking smack about his mama, you know what else he does that? His fellow Arkansas Razorback, Bobby Portis. That was like one of those crazy Bobby Portis sound bites from back in his Bulls days, is when he asked about how he gets himself amped up for games and how he brings that high energy and emotion to his game every night, is he imagines someone hitting his mom. Wow. Crazy stuff. So, moving on, let's take another text. This one is pretty certainly sounds like someone who's frustrated, from the 309. Can someone let me know when Boylan stops clapping louder than the fans and starts to fucking coach? When Zach LaVine can make a competent play? Maybe when Lowry can stop being a blank and try to shove and play physical for once. Look, as a Bulls fanatic, there's nothing I want more than to see my team succeed, but when you put five guys on a court and ask them to beat the worst of the teams and can't even do that, then what's the point for us fans to even cheer or have hope for this team to someday succeed? A problem goes deeper than Jim Boylan. Problem has existed for many years prior. People are complaining that Jim's not getting Lowry enough time. I understand that, but until the real Lowry shows up, not the shadow of a man, then I don't want to see him at all. The blame is on everyone, but most importantly, the front office. Signing off with the ever-famous hashtag FireGarPax. Thanks for checking in. I understand your frustrations. I will say that we have seen better versions of Lowry Markkanen recently. His three-point shot has come back after the terrible slump he had to start the season. In the game against Dallas Monday night, he got a lot of points inside the paint as well. He was running in transition. He was dunking. He was Euro-stepping. He was doing more of the Lowry things that we see outside of just being a seven-footer who shoots threes that we have been dying to see all season long. I do still think that some of Lowry's underwhelming performance this season is on Jim Boylan and this offensive system that is so just kind of not uniform. It's very weirdly, it lacks shape. It lacks cohesion, this whole multi-ball handler thing. And if you are a passive player, which Lowry Markkanen appears to be, then you can get lost and you can not have your shots because they aren't drawn up for you. That's an issue. As far as Zach LaVine, we know this. We've talked about this. As far as making competent plays, sometimes he shows us just how dominant of a offensive player he can be. And sometimes he shows us the poor decision making, the tunnel vision, the ways in which the ball can get stuck, and that you live and die by hero ball Zach. I understand if you are on the side of I don't like that about Zach, you have every right to feel that way. Unfortunately, a lot of his teammates have not been playing up to snuff this season, and he's sort of been, forced into that role. And as far as Boylan and his clapping, I completely agree. It's ridiculous. Here's one from the 702. I've come to the conclusion this year that we are an incomplete team. I don't want to blame Boylan anymore. When we don't have a real small forward. With a real small forward in each game, we'd have at least 8 points, five more rebounds a game. You joke about Carmelo, then he gave us 48 points combined in two games. We needed a 6'9" small forward. Well, yeah, we had one of those. His name was Otto Porter Jr. And then he went down. And I did talk on a recent episode about how I have some sympathy for Jim trying to figure out the best way to make use of this rotation and this roster that was handed to him that had this very glaring weakness where he's got a lot of guards and he's got a log-jammed front court and he's got no wings. We just saw Chandler Hutchison come back from an extended injury absence on Monday night, and he played 6 minutes and put up a Tony Snell box score. Zeros across the board. 6 minutes. Had no impact on the game whatsoever. We'll see if Hutch gets more run tonight, especially, you know, it's not like he and Wendell play the same position, but with one more man down and Archie being relegated to DNPs, Denzel being relegated to DNPs, if Hutch gets another shot tonight. But no Otto Porter Jr. Hutch comes back and gets 6 minutes, and it's not like that's like a minutes restriction thing. I think Boylan saw that Hutch was ineffective and didn't put him back in after his one stretch. So yes, the lack of legitimate small forwards on this roster is a problem, but I don't think you can absolve Jim Boylan of responsibility for all of this team's failures just because of that. He could be doing a better job in a variety of ways, and I'm not giving him a full pass just because the Bulls are lacking a legitimate small forward. All right, here's one more from 702, Rob in Glenwood. What's up, guys? I've been seeing multiple rumors of a Kyle Kuzma trade involving the Bulls. Do you think we have any pieces other than Lowry and LaVine that the Lakers would trade for? Also, start Gafford. He's taller and productive. Well, we've been over the news that it sounds like Thad's starting tonight instead of Gafford in Wendell's absence. As for the quandary on a Kuzma trade, I can't remember if we've talked Kuzma trade yet or not. Personally, I don't think that the Lakers would take anything the Bulls have that was not one of Lowry or Zach in a trade for Kuzma, because I think that the Lakers see him as a player that is as valuable as those two on this Bulls roster. I also worry if the Bulls were to try and add Kuzma and keep LaVine, that those two might clash in a way that was not entirely productive, because there are some similarities. Like, Zach LaVine's a better Kyle Kuzma in some ways. I don't think the Bulls would be entirely interested. Like, I know that there are just some rumors going around, especially because it seems like Kuzma has struggled to fit in, and he certainly seems to be on the outside of LeBron's circle of trust, and what LeBron says goes. So if LeBron wants Kuzma traded, he's going to be traded at some point before the deadline. I don't know that the Bulls are going to shake things up. The last we heard from John Paxson, and the only time we've heard from John Paxson through the first 37 games of this season, when he spoke to, you know, a handful of Bulls reporters, is that they are committed to seeing this season through with Jim Boylan and this current construction of players, this current collection of players. So I would be surprised to see the Bulls panic trade somebody this season, especially panic trade a player with a name like Zach LaVine or Lauri Markkanen. I don't think that they're ready to give up on either of those players to get a player like Kyle Kuzma, who, yeah, is a nice player, but I don't think the Bulls see him as something of greater value than either of the two guys they already have on their roster. But I do think that at some point, you know, it's probably not going to be the Bulls, but Kuzma's going to get sent somewhere because LeBron said so. Thanks for checking in, Glenn. All right, last one, and then we'll get out of here. This one comes to us from Maciek in the 847. Hey, Jordan and Matt, love listening to you guys. Thanks, appreciate that. What the hell is going on with Lowry at halftime? Why does he just disappear in the second half? And why does our coaching staff not address the issue? Thanks, guys. Keep up the great work, and Happy New Year. Happy New Year to you, too, Maciek. Appreciate you checking in. So this was sent to us on Friday of last week. So since then, we have seen Lowry play bigger minutes in the Celtics game and then Monday night against the Mavs, when we weren't even sure if Lowry was going to play because of his rolled ankle against the Celtics. And if he had not rolled his ankle and left for the remainder of that game against Boston, he would have ended up playing like 36 or 37 minutes. And then Monday night against Dallas, he plays 38 minutes. Or maybe it was 36. No, I think it was 38. Yeah. So I have had this same grievance when it comes to Jim Boylan and his rotations. It's like Zach LaVine has been playing more and more minutes, but Lowry has not. And I know Lowry struggled, but you gotta, if you want to buy in and see what this kid can do, and if he is a piece of this rebuild, even if he's not the best piece of a rebuild, but a piece worth keeping, and a piece worth keeping past his rookie contract, you gotta play him. Like, you know, not even a month ago, he was averaging barely 30 minutes a game. As a seventh overall pick, as a cornerstone piece of your rebuild, while Jim Boylan's going 10 guys deep, 11 guys deep on his bench and playing bench guys 20-plus minutes. It didn't make sense to me. It still doesn't make sense to me when it happens. But hopefully we're moving in a right direction and in a right trend where Markkanen has been playing better recently, and he's been getting more minutes recently. Some of the problem is Thad Young, and we've talked about that too. Thad complains about minutes. Thad gets more minutes. This front court logjam that we have. Now with the absence of Wendell, you know, one more man down in a front court rotation, so maybe you continue to see Markkanen get more minutes. But I agree. So many nights we've seen Markkanen have a strong start to a game and then just disappear in the second half. Disappear is the exact correct word to use. And, like, I was joking about it with Big Dave and John at halftime when we were watching that game Monday night against Dallas. Like, Markkanen had 14 points at halftime, and I was like, what do you bet he finishes with 17 or 18? Because how many times have we seen that happen? But he actually continued to show up in the second half, and he finished with 28. One of the best games we've seen from Markkanen all season. So, I understand the frustration, Maciek. I get it. I've been wondering the same thing myself. This Markkanen disappearing act in the second half. But you've got to continue getting him the ball. He has to be aggressive for it. You know, this is something that Will Perdue was talking about on a recent Bulls Talk podcast episode with Kendall Gill and Jason Goff. This, you know, the weird like mystery of what's wrong with Lowry and whose fault is it? And Will said, you know, Lowry needs to be more aggressive and he needs to demand the ball. And I think that at times, despite his talents, Zach LaVine is not always the right guy to run your offense through. You have to run your offense through Lowry Markkanen. And Jim Boylan has essentially just refused to do that with the way things are running with this offensive system, which, by the way, is like the second or third worst offense in the league. So if you've got this talented kid who's having a tough season and he's not getting his looks and your offense is one of the worst offenses in the league, to all Zach's credit for the ways that he has bailed this team out and carried this team most nights with his scoring production, there are also issues with Zach and his hero ball that stagnate the Bulls' half-court offense. So run it through Lowry instead. Why is that such a hard concept? Don't keep failing over and over and over the same way. Do something different. I mean, who would be upset as a fan of this team if the try something different is the other guy who's supposed to be an all-star potential caliber player who has been just ignored in this team's offense for the near first half of the season to start refocusing and run some offense through him? And maybe that gains his confidence a little bit. Maybe it boosts his own game and his stance on where he is in this team. Because right now, he just seems to be passive and dismissive and uninterested. So force him to be interested. Run your offense through Lowry Markkanen and do it not just for a half, but for a whole game. I don't think that is an outrageous, you know, I don't think that's an outrageous request to make. And I completely agree with Maciek in that this, you know, only one half of Lowry and the small minutes for Lowry, it's bogus. The Bulls have to do more to get Lowry involved and keep him involved. No more of these stretches where Markkanen's on the bench for like 7-8 minutes at a time. He's a starter. He's young. He's supposedly healthy. So play him like a starter who is young and healthy. That's it for today. Appreciate everybody who was checking in on our various forms of mailbag. Hopefully Jordan and or I can take some voicemails later in the week. I know we've got some fresh voicemails that have come in over the weekend and through the first couple of days of this week. So we will do our best to get to those on a later episode. Until then, enjoy Bulls Pelicans tonight. Hopefully we can end this four-game losing streak that we find ourselves in, and without Wendell Carter Jr., I guess let's see what happens with Boylan and his rotation tonight. For my partner, Jordan Malley, Matt Peck saying thanks as always for listening, Bulls Nation. We're always here for you. We appreciate that you are always here for us. We got to stick together in these trying times. Until tomorrow, see you red. Be good. Peace out.
If you build it, they will come.
I've worked for Greg Popovich. He's sub five guys a ton of times. You know, nobody says a word to him about it.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com